A lot of difference between last week and this week. I really sound nice up here now. All right, how's everybody doing this morning? I want to tell you guys how much I love you and I love this church. And you know, and it's not a building. I was thinking the other day, the old white building when I first came that sat on this property, then it ended up being blue, and then we tore it down with this. But what makes this place special for me is you guys. It's the people here, and I want to make sure you know that, because you really are special to me, because this is my family. You're my family. I love you. I care for you, and I pray for you. And, you know, I was looking at our title this morning of the message, I Want to Believe, But God Didn't Answer My Prayers. What do you do when God doesn't answer your prayers? You ever wonder about that? Anybody ever get frustrated? Anybody ever, like, where are you, God? Why aren't you doing anything? Or maybe, when are you going to do something? You know, we wrestle with what happens when God, you know, I want to believe. I want to believe there's a God. I want to believe God cares. I want to believe God loves. But where is he sometimes when he doesn't answer our prayers? And so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning. You know, next week I'm going to talk about, you know, what about, I'm going to believe God, but you know what? God's a killjoy, right? You know, you can't have any fun. You know, I mean, God, but I want to have fun. You know, and God has all these rules, and if I do all those rules, I won't have fun anymore. So, you know, yeah, I want to believe in God, but I want to have fun. You know, he's a killjoy. Or the week after that, I'm going to have one. I'm looking forward to this one. I want to believe in God, but I just don't get goosebumps. You know, I went to church, and I just didn't feel it. You know, I read the Bible, and I just don't feel it. You know, I want to believe in, there's no feeling. I just don't feel he's there. You know, and so we wrestle with that, and we wonder about that. And then the last one I'm going to kind of deal with, you know, I want to believe in God, but there's so many people suffering. He just doesn't seem to care. You know, people are starving. You know, children die. Cancer. We, you know, if God cared, why didn't he do something? And so we have these topics, but today I want to talk about praying. You know, when I pray, when I go and petition God and nothing happens, you know, you fill out those blue cards and you ask me to pray for you, and maybe you wonder, does he pray for me because nothing's happening? Anybody ever wonder that? Is the pastor really praying for me because nothing's happening? Well, I'm going to tell you, yes, I am praying for you, all right? I'm doing my part. The other part's God. We're going to talk about God and what he does this morning. But this idea, I want to believe, but is nothing new. There was a man in the New Testament named Thomas. He was one of these that says, I want to believe, but listen to what he says here. You got your little outline out. You can follow along. Now, Thomas, also called Didymus, one of the 12. That's what's amazing to me. Here's a guy that says, I want to believe, but he's one of the 12. He's one of the closest 12 to Jesus in his first years. Was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. I want to believe, but. I'm going to ask you, do you have a but? You know, do you have, you know, it's like, some of you guys are laughing. I know where your mind is, okay? B-U-T, not B-U-T-T, okay? Help me out here. You know, I want to believe, but. All right, I want to believe, but. Let me play real quick. Now, some of you might have trouble with this because it might be a little before your time. Now, some of you might not want to participate because it is your time. You don't want anybody to know. All right. We're going to name some shows. I want you to name some of the TV shows that I can identify. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to hide it. But how about a show that started with this? The Plane. Fantasy Island, all right. Anybody remember Fantasy Island? Now, what played after Fantasy Island on some cruise ship? That was called Love Boat. You guys remember that one? And how about a little kid named Opie that grew up and became a teenager and starred in Happy Days? Okay, all right. And Happy Days had a couple of spinoffs. One of them was Laverne and Mork and... See, you guys are good, man. You guys are good. How about the $6 million... And the Bionic. See, you guys are good. You know, you guys know all these shows. But here's what's interesting about these shows. We grew up watching these shows. And if I wanted to watch Fantasy Island and I wanted to watch Love Boat Saturday night, where did I need to be? I need to be at home in front of the TV at 8 o'clock at night to watch Love Boat and Fantasy Island. I wanted to watch Happy Days. I had to be home Tuesday night, right? In front of the TV to watch Happy Days. You know, I was thinking, how many remember Batman? Batman and then laughing. I mean, you had to be home in front of the TV, because if you weren't home in front of your TV, you missed it. It was gone. Am I right? I mean, it was gone. The world has changed. TV has changed. Nowadays, right now, on my TV, I am recording NASCAR. All right? I hardly watch anything on TV now, live. Anybody else? I hardly watch anything live. Not only, I meant to bring my TV remote. I have a thing on my TV remote that says, on demand. You guys know that one, don't you? You know? We don't want to wait for anything. You know? I'm going to order something from Amazon, and I want it. All right? 2-day delivery. If you live in the right area, you get 1 day. You know, pretty soon I'm waiting to see all the sky full of drones, you know. We live in this world that everything's on demand. On demand. I want it now. You know, I'll fast forward the commercials. I will. There's a show I want to watch. I'll go and turn the remote on, get it set up. I'll go into the bedroom and work for 15 minutes. Then I'll come back out and start skipping the commercials, because that's about how long commercials are in an hour show, 15 to 20 minutes. Anybody else? I mean, yeah. But we live in this on-demand world, and guess what we're demanding? We're demanding an on-demand God. God, I prayed. I'm a good person. I've read my Bible. I'm following you. I was in church. Add whatever you want to do to that. God, I prayed. Now I want my answer. Anybody want an on-demand God? We want God. You know, God, you promised. You know, you promise if I pray, you're going to answer. But the thing with on-demand God, we want the answer whose way? My way, your way. No, I want mine. I don't want your way. I want mine. And I want my prayers answered my way. See, we get caught up in this world. I want God to answer my prayers, you know. A young teenager, mom and dad fighting in the home all the time, praying and asking God to help the family, and the family falls apart, and it's like, I don't want to believe in God. I believe in God, but he didn't save my parents' marriage. You know, and we wrestle with these things. You know, I'm a good person. I work hard. I'm a giving person, and I share, and I give, and I still struggle financially, and I pray for God to answer my financial needs, and I'm part of a small group that meets, you know, and we're praying for somebody's friend who has cancer, and we're asking God to intervene, but that person passes. I want to believe, but I want God on my... I want God to answer like I want to answer. Like I want. See, and we wrestle with this. But I put it this way in your outline. God does this to serve us. We exist to serve him. You see, you know? On-demand God doesn't exist. I'll be honest with you. I wish he did. You know? I got a list. It would be nice. You know, I want this on-demand God. And see, I think a lot of people reject God because he doesn't fit the image they've created of God. They've created this on-demand God. And so I believe there's a lot of people that are confused about God. That they see this God, and They wonder why God didn't and how come God doesn't and where is God when? And they go through all of this. And the problem is not with God. They just don't have a picture of the truth. You know what I'm saying? You know, they got this image in their mind of who they think God should be, of the character and nature of God, and they fit God into the form they have. And so this morning, what I want to challenge us with is, let's get a good picture of God. If we're going to talk about prayer and look at and going to God and looking at God, it'd be handy to have really a true picture of who God is. And he's not a God that is for us, but we exist for him. I think too many people create God in their own image. Anybody ever have friends like that? You know, kind of put God in their little box and get this image of God. So this morning, what I wrote it down your outline this way. If God is not on the band God, then who is he? Who's God? Who is God? What is God like? How is he? What does he look like? How does he exist? Where is he? I like that phrase. You know, I just read that passage there about Thomas. Show me. You know, I got to see. I want to believe, but until I do this, I want to believe. Jesus shows up. Let me tell you something. Jesus showed up. Not on Thomas's schedule, on his schedule, okay? Just to kind of give you a little hint here, Jesus showed up on a Sunday night. We don't have Sunday night church anymore, but we used to have Sunday night church. Anybody remember Sunday night church? We used to have Sunday night church, and you missed a blessing. I preached that sermon one time. You know, you missed Sunday night, you missed a blessing. Thomas missed a blessing. He wasn't there Sunday night. Jesus showed up. Here I am talking to the disciples, you know. They're all pumped. They're all excited. They go out and find Thomas. Thomas, man, you missed church on Sunday night, and you missed a blessing. Thomas goes, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I got to put my finger. I got to put my fist. Jesus shows up. Guess when? The next Sunday night. Not when Thomas wanted it, not on Thomas's schedule, but on his schedule. But I'm going to tell you what. We can say anything you want to say about Thomas, but I think Thomas has the greatest confession in the Bible, okay? Listen to what he said here. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Why don't you circle that word my? Both times. He's not God. I believe in God. No. He is my God. He is my Lord. See, I think Thomas has that greatest affection for God. And he's not like, okay, God, I want to believe, but do we ever do these kinds of things? Do we ever say those kinds of battles and struggles in our lives? You know, I'm going to pray to God and I'm going to seek God as long as God does it my way. We want, how many here an ATM God? Stick my prayer in, push a button, out comes my prayer. Anybody want to see that? Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? An ATM prayer card. On-demand God, right? Yeah. How about a sugar daddy God? Anybody want a sugar daddy God? Yeah. You know, a little sugar daddy God. You know, just, I want my answer. You know, we create this God in who we think he should be, but Thomas realized, yes, you got to show me, but once he's seen it, he was there. I was going to put a passage here because if you read on just past this, I'll give you a little challenge. Read on just past this. Guess what Jesus says next? I meant to put it here. I just forgot about it. So I'm just preaching now. He said, blessed are those who do not see and yet, what? Believe. See, that's our challenge. So I'm going to give you three things about God. In the midst of your life, as you struggle, as you battle, where is God? Why isn't God answering? Why didn't God do this? Where is God? How did all this happen to me? And I want to give you three things. And the first one reads like this. God's heart is always loving. God's heart is always loving. Now, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I've thought about that. Anybody else? It's like, God, you're allowing this? Not because he doesn't cause it, but I'm going to tell you, God's allowed some things in my life that I do not like. And there's some things in my life that I wish had not had happened. Sometimes I created it myself, but sometimes it's others' fault. You know, how we deal with that. Look at what it says here as he talks about God's love in Romans, Paul. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall troubles or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? What's going to separate us? Let me kind of, when I was a teenager, we used to paraphrase Bible verses. Something like this. What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Should our troubles, broken relationships, unemployment, cancer, health, depression, should that separate, can anything separate us from the love of God? How do we cross this? Yeah. I kind of picture God, I don't know about you, the Bible calls God Father, so I often picture him like that, all right? Fortunately, I had a good father. You know, I've told you my journey was good, but there was, you know, well, I'll talk more about that later maybe. You know, but I had a father. But, you know, as a parent, there's, you know, I thought about two things as a parent. I love my children. Anybody else have your children? So some of you don't love your children? You know? Sometimes I don't like them, all right? Sometimes I want to, I'm going to, I want to spank them, but I can't be politically correct, can I? Can you spank anymore? You know, I want to kill them. Anybody else? You know? Do your kids ever drive you batty? Let me ask you, do you still love them? You know? Would you still sacrifice for them? Would you still give them all you could and all you can do for them? No matter what they do, you love your children. That's how God feels about us. He loves us. But here's the second thing. When I was raising my kids, I didn't always do what they wanted me to do. We're going out for dinner. Where do you want to go for dinner? Where do you think the kids want to go for dinner? What? Somebody said it. McDonald's. How many we did at McDonald's every night when you got a kid? You know? It's not the food they want. It's the toy in the box. You know? You know, and so sometimes when you're raising children, you don't do what they want. And sometimes when God is raising us, he doesn't do what we want. Does that make sense? You know, does that work? Yeah, I'm not going to go to McDonald's every night. Now, I'd go to Taco Bell every night, but I won't go to McDonald's every night. All right? Yeah. Or, you know, you have your child, you're raising your child, and they forgot their homework on Monday. You tuck the homework to school. You told them, put your homework in your backpack. Tuesday morning, you get the call again. I forgot my homework. You pick up that homework, you put it in the bag, you run down to the school, there's your homework. Wednesday rolls around. I forgot my homework. Tough luck. Now you're going to hard lesson. You think God ever teaches us a hard lesson? No. See, nothing can separate us from the love of God, but I think there's two things. God's always going to love us, but he doesn't always give us what we want. No. Have you ever pursued something, had it all, and yet when you got it, it was like, what did I want it for? I like how they finish out. I like how Paul wrote out and he finished this. He said, you know, what can separate us from God? Then he goes this. No, in things we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we deal with our prayers, when we deal with God, we need a picture of God who loves us. And let me tell you something. He loves you so much that he doesn't answer your prayers sometimes. And that could be a blessing. He loves us so much, he doesn't have to prove it by answering our prayers. He proved it when he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Anybody on board with that one? He loves us so much that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died on that cross. I'm talking about love, guys. See, we don't need an on-demand God. We got a loving God, which is better. See, I want to believe, but there's no but. I got a loving God. He's true. His heart is loving. towards every one of us. And it's on His time, not ours. And it's in His will and not ours. Because that kind of takes me to my next point. My second point was this, that His ways are always higher. That His ways are always higher. See, as a pastor, I sometimes get this question. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? You might have thought it. Maybe you've asked me the question. You're not the only one that asked me. I'll ask God the question, okay? I've done that. Now, I'll be honest with you. You want to know something? Sometimes I don't have an answer. Did you know that? Sometimes we know. We don't have an answer. And I'm smart enough to say that I don't know. You know, as your pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. There's things I don't know, okay? I hope that's okay with you. I know I'm smart, all right? I'm wise. I'm Gary, the great. Come on. But I'm also smart enough to know there's a lot I don't know. You know what I've learned from me? This is kind of the picture I have of going to and pursuing all what I've done in school. And I watch documentaries. That's what I watch. I'd cancel cable without batting an eye. I mean, I like documentaries and stuff. I see knowledge as an upside-down pyramid. And then I got a little sliver over here. My sliver's getting bigger, but you know what? As my sliver gets bigger, what I don't know gets bigger. Anybody know that one? The more I know, the more I know I don't know. Ooh, that's kind of confusing. Yeah, the more I know. With God, there's things I don't know, but God is higher. You know, God is an infinite God. And who am I to think that I can figure God out? Anybody ever got your life all figured out? You know, I'm going to go down here and I'm going to turn right, then I'm going to turn left, then I'm going to turn right. And you start down that path, you turn right, you turn left, you turn right, and you go, uh-oh, where am I at? Anybody ever, you know, you got life all figured out, you got it all laid out, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, I thought I had this. You know, I thought I had this all. I've been there. Sometimes I'm still there. I don't know if I feel like that guy, you know, I've reached bottom and now I'm digging. Anybody? You know, it's like, oh, now what? See, God is higher. Look at what it says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As heaven is higher than the, so are my ways higher than yours, than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't understand. You know? A family has a child, and the child is born with special needs. And sometimes we look at that as how tragic, how sad. And yet, 5 years, 10 years down the road, that child, that family, like that, is the greatest blessing that family's ever had. Now, I always thought we would have a child with special needs. Laura, when she was young, and she had her next-door neighbor and another friend, she had special need friends, and she helped them and worked with special needs as when she was just a young girl. And so when we got married, we talked that we might end up, you know, is God going to give us, did God prepare Laura for special needs? You notice I said Laura, right? Yeah. And we were never blessed with a special need child. And then I started realizing this was making my notes and sitting there in the prayer room thinking about my message. I'm going, Laura did get a special need child. His name's Gary. Yeah, I did. I literally thought that this morning. Yeah. But sometimes, yeah, you talk to a family with a special need child, and some of them will tell you that's the greatest blessing in their life. The love that child has, that innocence that child has, is just something that just, you know what I'm saying? You know, and we need to see that. We don't understand God. You know, there's a natural disaster, and we look at that, and we don't understand. But God's ways are higher. God has a wisdom that we don't have. God has a knowledge that we don't have. God's not limited to our time and to our place, and He's not limited to who we are. He has this infinite knowledge and this infinite wisdom. And we need to see that with God. He's a sovereign God. But here's the promise that I think is real good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now see, there's a really important phrase there. God works in all things for the good of those who love him. Why do you think that little phrase there, for those who love him? Because only when you love him can you understand when things are negative, God can use in a positive way. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know God, when things, bad things happen to you, it is bad, and there's it there. I'm serious. If you don't know God and bad things happen in your life, it's bad. You want to turn them into some opportunities? Turn to God. That's what that verse says. See, and we need to see that. God has this end in mind. God has this knowledge. God has this power. He's a sovereign God. And he's always there. And we need to see that in our lives. And, you know, I thought of things like this. You know, you want to buy a house. You know, when Laura and I bought our house, you know, we talked to a person down here on Finney Road, and that one didn't work out. We thought, okay, they're Christians, and we know the family, and they'll work with us on getting a loan, and we'll work that house out. It didn't work. So then there was a house down here, and we talked to them and tried to work that house out. That house, much older, and needed some work, but I knew how to work, and friends that knew how to work, okay? Like that one, I got friends who know how to work. And so we talked about that house, and that didn't work out. And then Laura finds this house over here, a new house, a brand new house. Been empty for 6 months. And they need to offload that house. So guess which house I got? I didn't get number one. I didn't even get number two. I got number three. I like it. It's new. Now you walk in, and the people that are selling you the house, it's the California Homes, and they go, you can pick out your tile, and you can pick out your carpet, and you can pick out this, and you can pick out that, but you got to pick from this column because you don't have any money. That's what they told me. You know, I said, I don't care. You know, I got a home. I feel good right now, a little over 2 years, and it's paid off. Thank you, Jesus. God works things out. I had my time, that one. You know, I would have settled for that one, but God blessed with this one. You know, we got wisdom. I got it all figured out, God. I got it all penciled out. I can afford this, and I could afford this, and I could buy that house, God, and I get it all figured out. And God says, no. I just think about that. Teenager. Got a boyfriend. I have my granddaughters with me. You know, for them, they didn't have any boyfriends. Do I believe them? I'm not sure, okay? You know, 16 and 17-year-old girls, you know, I got a 21-year-old grandson. You guys got boyfriends? You know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying you get good boyfriends and godly boyfriends and all of that. And they tell me no. You know, but you get a boyfriend. You know, one of these girls get a boyfriend and you get dumped. Anybody been dumped? You know, don't raise your hand. You know, you get dumped and it's, your world caves in. You know, but that's version one. Version two's a coming, all right? You know what I'm saying? You know, God has something. I do. You need to know your kids and your grandkids. Some of you sitting right here right now, I'm praying for you to have a godly wife or a godly husband. But you know what I'm praying also for some of you sitting right here right now? I'm praying that you be a godly person too. All right? So don't think you're going to get a godly one if you ain't godly. Whoa, that's bad. I'm sorry. But it's true. You want a godly spouse, you be a godly person. Don't bottom fish. Guess what you're going to get? Bottom feeders, okay? Yeah? See, God has this. God's ways are higher. You think something happens to you and it just throws you off and it's done and I'm over. Wait a minute. God's not done yet. How's that a good phrase? Maybe that's something you should write down there. God's way higher. God's not done yet. He's not done. He's not limited. You know? He doesn't know what tomorrow, you don't know what tomorrow brings, but he does. He knows what next Sunday's going to bring. He knows what next year is going to bring. So his ways are higher than ours. And the last one I'm going to put right here real quick. God's presence is always enough. God's presence is always enough. I don't know, some of you maybe just kind of starting out as a believer. Some of you might not be believers. Some of you might start out as believers. Some of you may be just what I'm going to call Sunday morning believers. Anybody a Sunday? Don't raise your hand. But I want to tell you something. If you want to get close to God, you got to pursue him. All right? God does not force himself on anybody. All right? It's up to you. How close you get to God is up to you. But here's what I want you to know. When you get close to God, his presence is enough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know where I'm at? His presence is enough. Being there is enough. It's real interesting. I'll encourage you. You want to read some Psalms? Read the Bible. It's the middle of the Bible. I can tell you real easy. If you just open your Bible up almost right in the middle, it'll just say Psalms. All right? And you just start reading the Psalms. And King David wrote more than half of them. All right? They haven't really kind of figured out who wrote most. You know, he wrote the most, but you know, just, you know, his name's on like 73 of them. Read David in his writing. And what's so fun about reading David in his writing, now here's a guy that the Bible says is a man after own God's heart. Here's a guy who pursued God, didn't kill the king, and finally became the king. You could just kind of follow his life. But when you read the Psalms, this guy was in trouble all the time. I'm serious. God, my enemies are pursuing me. Do something. God, my family's messed up. Do something. I mean, this is his prayer. I mean, you know, you just read the Psalms. You know, the 20 Psalms. Probably the most famous Psalm. In the middle of that Psalm, it says this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Dark. I'm used to the King James. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is faithful. In the darkest times of our life, there's a light. And here's what I want to tell you something. The light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. It's Jesus coming for you. Okay? You guys got it? No? In the darkest time of your life, when life seems the darkest, when it seems the hardest, and that light is sitting there, don't run from the light, run to the light. Can I be okay with that? Because life is hard. Life's not fair. Life hurts. And we pray and we seek God and we wonder where God's at and we wonder what God is up to and God isn't moving and it's dark. But there's light. And that light is God. See, God is not only on the mountaintop. Anybody been to the mountaintop with God? I've been there. Great experiences. But I've also been in the darkest times. And I found God there also. And guess what? I needed him more there than I needed him when I was there. That he's with me everywhere. See, sometimes. That God didn't answer. But what I want you to know is his presence is always enough. I like that picture, a rod and a staff. I've talked about it so much, I'm not going to describe it to you again. But it's a God who's that shepherd. He's going to pick you up. He's going to carry you. He's going to anoint with balm your scratches, your scrapes. He's going to be there for you. He's not going to abandon you. I often think about this. You know, I wonder about God sometimes with me. It's like, oh, there goes Gary, you idiot. You know, what am I going to do with him? Guess what he does? He goes and gets me again. You know, because he's God. You know, his presence is always enough in our life. And I think that's why Thomas could say, my Lord and my God, at the bottom of your page. Because God's presence was always enough. God was there. He walked with God for 3 years. Side by side, seen the miracles. Talk to Jesus face to face. Jesus says, I'm going to die. I'm going to go away. And Thomas goes, I don't know where you're going. Tell me. John chapter 14. Go read it. Yeah. He was there, eyeball to eyeball, walking side by side. And yet, you got to show me, God. I want to believe, but. So I want to challenge you. Where are you? I want to believe, but can you be like Thomas? There's going to be those buts in our time. God, where were you? Why, God? I don't deserve this. This hurts too much, God. God, this isn't fair. But God's love is true. presence is enough. And his way is higher. Is that okay? Is he your Lord and your God? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are a loving, merciful God. That you don't have to prove your love by doing what we want. That you proved your love when Jesus Christ to die on the cross. That we can know you personally, not just a God who lives above, but a God who lived and touches our hearts today. Thank you for that. And Lord, I just come right now seeking your presence and your touch. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I think there may be some of you right here, right now, some things going on in your life you just don't understand. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you wish some things were different. Maybe it's just not where you want to be. And you want me to pray for you. Would you just stand up and say, pray for me. I don't get it. I don't understand. It hurts. I just can't figure this out. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, I come bringing these into your presence for a miracle, because you are a miracle-working God. I pray for relationship breakthroughs, Lord. I pray for physical healing, for financial break blessings. I pray for hurts and bandages and wounds. I pray for provisions. I pray for healing of brokenness. I pray for a restoration of life. I pray for the battles of depression. Lord, I pray for these. I pray for marriages. I pray for families. I pray for those who feel alone. I pray and I ask for miracles. God, you supreme God, the loving, caring God. You sit on your throne and you dwell in the heavens above, but you are a God who loves us. I pray that these would feel your love this morning, that nothing would separate them, that they would know that nothing separates them from your love, that they will trust that your ways are higher, that we don't understand and we can't figure it out, but we'll recognize you, that one day we will actually understand and know. Lord, that you are with us, even in the darkest times, that you're with them right now to comfort their hearts, to encourage them, that you'll walk side by side as the good shepherd. In Jesus' name, I ask this miracle. Amen. Well, I just give an invitation at the end of our service. And invitation is real simple. I'm just here to pray with you. I don't know what God...